Morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. I'll read from the 26th verse. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are most highly favored. The Lord is with you." A few moments after our daughter was born, I blessed her with the words of Aaron the priest and with the sign of the cross. And then a few days later, my wife and I blessed her a second time by giving her her name. I've come to think that God gives parents the task of naming their children as a blessing, both to the child and to the parents themselves, and perhaps even to those whom the child will meet throughout their life. Mari is the Gaelic name for Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I hope this name will indeed be a blessing to our daughter and to others. Mary is, of course, someone who is herself blessed by God, and blessed in an exceptional way, for as the angel Gabriel recognizes, the Lord is with her. In Gabriel's greeting, there is a deliberate echo of the story of one of Israel's great heroes. In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." What, we might think, can an unmarried teenage girl in a small village in the backwaters of the Roman Empire have to do with the mighty warriors of old? It seems that Mary might have been thinking this herself. She was, Luke says, greatly troubled by Gabriel's words. Was she to save the people of God from the hands of their enemies as Gideon had done? No, not as Gideon had done. Trumpets and swords would not be for her. The Lord would be with her in a different way, in an even more profound way than he had been with Gideon and David, Deborah and Moses. The Lord will become her child. There's something extraordinary here that we can only marvel at. Mary will conceive and give birth to the one who is her maker, the one who made her, and with her the heavens and the earth and all of the creatures with which they are filled, the one who sustains and upholds all created things by his love, even as he is being nursed at his mother's breast. Seems, of course, unlikely that Mary fully understands all of this. I don't fully understand. "How can this be?" she asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." This, we might think, is the least puzzling aspect of the situation that she has been plunged into. And yet, not fully comprehending what is being asked of her, Mary says yes to God. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." She will continue to grow in her understanding of what it means for her to be the servant of the Lord. But there are a number of things right at the beginning, a number of hints. Elizabeth's unborn child leaps for joy in her womb when he hears Mary's voice, just as King David had leapt for joy before the Ark of the Covenant, because Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Strange figures in the temple who had spent entire lifetimes waiting for God's salvation suddenly erupt into praise when they see her with the baby Jesus. Shepherds tell Mary of dazzling visions of the hosts of heaven praising God at the birth of her child. Mary treasured all of these strange signs. Luke tells us, pondering them in her heart. I suspect that she spent a lot of time pondering, quietly growing into her sense of what it is that she had said yes to, of what it means for the Lord to be with her and for her in such an extraordinary way. The Lord fills the hungry, Mary says, and Mary herself has been filled with the Lord. And so all of those around her, the angel Gabriel, her cousin Elizabeth, the aged Simeon, the prophetess Anna, they all bless her, recognizing that she is blessed by God in a special way. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims to Mary. There's much more that we could say here about how Mary is blessed by the Lord, but I would like to ponder a slightly different thought. For the extraordinary thing here is not just that the Lord blesses Mary, but that Mary blesses the Lord. How does she do this? Or to put the question in a slightly different way, what does the Lord learn from his mother? If you've ever seen a newborn with their mother, and I have plenty of opportunities to do this right at the moment, you'll have some idea of just how much they do learn from their mothers. It's often pointed out that in spite of the impression we get from some of Christmas carols, Jesus was an ordinary baby who would be tired and irritable at times, who'd wake in the middle of the night to be fed and then wake again and then again, who needed to learn how to crawl, how to hold things, how to talk, how to pray. An ordinary baby then, who needs his mother to care for him, to comfort him, to nurture and sustain his life, to teach him the path of virtue and wisdom. Such thoughts are perhaps reasonably familiar to us. Mary does what any good mother does for her child. She looks after him. And it's in this sense we can say that she is a blessing to him. And we often do say that at Christmas time. She looks after him, this tiny, vulnerable baby. But can we say any more? Of course, Jesus did not remain a baby, but will leave the home in which he is loved and nurtured by Mary to go on a journey to Jerusalem, to face what John calls his hour. And as Jesus goes on this journey, it is easy to lose sight of Mary, who featured so prominently at the beginning of the story. It's easy to think that her nurturing role is finished. And yet a careful reading of the gospel suggests something a little different. For Mary is still there with Jesus as he goes on his journey, sometimes getting things wrong as she continues to learn how to fulfill her role, but sometimes getting things right. It's John who provides us with a particularly significant instance of when she gets it right. and his account of the wedding at Cana in the second chapter of his gospel. You might remember that at this event, a terrible thing happened. They ran out of wine. Jesus is there celebrating with the other guests, and it appears he has not noticed, or perhaps he doesn't think anything of it. Or perhaps he knows what it would mean to act and just doesn't want to. Wine often runs out at weddings anyway. It is Mary who sees the situation for what it is. It is Mary who sees what it means. She comes to her son and tells him that the wine has run out, and he replies, and here I'm going to translate the Greek very loosely, "Why are you bothering me about this? I'm not ready to take up my calling yet. Can you please just leave me alone? Let me be." See, he knows what she is asking of him. And he says, "No, not yet. The hour has not come." And then Mary does something that good mothers sometimes do. I have found that mothers have an extraordinary ability to overhear their children even when they are speaking in the quietest of voices. And at the same time, they have an extraordinary ability to not hear those same children even when the children are speaking very loudly and clearly. And in this instance, it's the second of these motherly superpowers that Mary uses. She does not hear Jesus. She disregards him and takes matters into her own hands. She sets things in motion herself, pushing the servants in the direction of Jesus so that he is forced to act. She forces his hand as if she was saying to him, "You may not realize it yet, you may not want it yet, but your hour has in fact arrived." And so, prompted by his mother, Jesus performs his first miracle or sign and turns the water into wine. Of course, Baptists have been trying to turn it back again ever since. But I've been waiting all year to use that joke. Apologize if you're a Baptist. For all of the other guests at the wedding, more wine means more celebration. But Jesus knows that this new wine, the best wine we are told, is the sign that he is now on his way to the cross. Jesus knows this, and so it seems does Mary, who has helped him to set him on the path, who has, as it were, gently but firmly fastened his hand to the cross. Just as she had said yes to the path that God had set her on, just as she had entrusted herself into God's hands, so she now teaches her son to do the same, to give himself over to the Father. Mary starts him off on his journey to the cross, and she is there at the end, there at the foot of the cross, as her son is being lifted up so that all human beings might be drawn to him. His blood being poured out for them as freely as the wine had that night in Cana. "The Lord is with you," Gabriel had told her all those years earlier, and here she is with the Lord, as he gives his spirit into the hands of the Father for the sake of the world. And so, blessed by the Lord, she is a blessing to him. Of course, the mystery of all of this is startling. How can a human being teach the one who made her? But then, that just is the mystery of Christmas, isn't it? That God would become human and so would need a mother to teach him. And that Mary, this peasant girl, would be that mother. The ways of God are that strange, are that marvelous. And it is right that we ponder them at Christmas. Just as Mary treasured all these things in her heart, so too we treasure them, marveling at the mercy and the love of God. And it is right too that as we come to this great feast, we honour this blessed peasant girl who nurtured the Lord of creation in her womb, who protected him and loved him and taught him to commend his spirit into the hands of his loving Father, and so to take a broken and suffering world into the healing embrace of God. There are many heroes of the faith. Mary, the unwed peasant girl, is the first among them. Before Abraham, before Moses, before Joshua, before Gideon, this peasant girl. It is fitting at Christmas time that we remember her, a woman who is so highly favoured by the Lord as to be his mother. And as we do, her name, her life, will become a blessing to us, just as it was to her son. If the band could come up, I'm hoping it's time for a Christmas carol, actually. I'm not sure what the band is planning, but it seems appropriate if you can rustle one up. Thank you.